from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
Team USA.
You just made the list!
Yes, from the Associated Press. The Redemption Tour ended in a familiar spot for Simone Biles, atop the Olympic podium again. The American gymnast star... Your gymnastics star and her singular brilliance. The American gymnastics star and her singular brilliance powered a dominant U.S. women's team in the finals inside a raucous Bercy Arena on Tuesday night, which was also Tuesday mid-morning, early afternoon for us. With Biles at her show-stopping best, the Americans' total of 171.296 was well clear ahead of Italy and Brazil and was the exclamation point of a year-long run in which Biles has cemented her legacy as the greatest ever in her sport and among the best in the history of the Olympics. The outcome, the Americans on top with the rest of the world looking up, was not in doubt from the moment that Jordan Chiles began the night by drilling her double-twisting Yurchenko vault. I think I got that right. By the time Biles, the left calf that bothered the 27-year-old qualified. Was this written in
this
French?
This is like AI written. This is crazy.
Was this written in French and translated into?
I am reading it too. You are not stumbling over words. This is how it is written. By the time Biles, the left calf that bothered the 27-year-old during, it must have been, there has to be some sort of AI involved in this, writing this.
Here is my working theory. French as a language is very, like, dramatic.
Are they just translating it?
I think what happened is the story was written in French and it was translated back to, probably put into the AI machine.
Right.
And translated back.
Yeah, this is very confusing.
Okay, the point being, Simone was awesome. Team USA was awesome.
Yeah, they were awesome.
They dominated. It was a little confusing if you were watching live. They had a running score, and basically what would happen is you would, as soon as a team got enough scores to qualify, they were bumping them up.
Right.
So it made it look like teams were jumping in front of the U.S., when in reality it's just the U.S. hadn't had enough people. Every time the U.S. got a qualifying score, they would just go right back to the top.
Right. I thought the commentators did a great job because they kept making it very clear to the viewers that Team USA was really far out in front, and you were just seeing that because these teams were finishing these events before Team USA. And I do think that it's kind of cool that Simone Biles was the closer, the Mariano Rivera coming in to make sure that Team USA won the gold. Here's a fun little stat from today, too. Allie Raisman began the day as the oldest U.S. female gymnast to ever win an Olympic gold at 22. She is now fourth behind Biles, Jade Carey, and Jordan Chiles. Biles is 27, Carey is 24, and Chiles is 23.
So the thing that's interesting to me is this sport has always skewed super young.
Yeah. They have a 16-year-old on the team, but she did not compete.
Why is that not the case?
I have no idea. I'm not going to pretend like I keep up with gymnastics except for every 4 years at the Olympics.
So obviously, in this situation, I don't care because they're awesome. My working theory is that now, since all of them are basically making their money off of the floor, like in the 90s, you didn't, I mean, I guess you could do like appearance fees and whatnot, and you could kind of do that. But it's like now you can, I would assume all these girls have massive social media followings and they can still make millions that way.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that, so there's more incentive for them to stay.
Okay, here's an explanation. I just found an explanation. Okay. It sounds like a lot of the gymnasts are going and competing in college first, and then they are making the jump to the Olympics, which is what happened. I mean, Suni Lee, she is at Auburn. Like, somebody yelled at in a very fun moment, yelled War Eagle at her after she just absolutely nailed one of her performances, and she just did a fist pump real quick. So that must be what's happening. I bet some of these gymnasts are going college first, and then they're making the jump.
Well, you
Olympics.
Can make money in college.
Yeah, because the NIL. There's more incentive to just go to college instead of just going straight into the Olympics. But they do have a 16-year-old who is apparently the future of Team USA. I also think that this year specifically just had, you know, Simone Biles wanted to come back. It sounds like that this is probably going to be the last of Olympics that she competes in. She is now the most, you know, decorated U.S. gymnast that we've ever had with 8 medals, and she still has a few more to compete with. My favorite thing, I've talked about it a few times on Gabe's show, there is a great documentary out right now on Netflix about Simone Biles and her journey back to the Olympics after what happened in Tokyo, talking about her having to deal with the twisties, which, by the way, we have got to campaign for a better word for the twisties. It is a very scary thing that happens when you are in the air and you don't know where your body or your legs are and you might fall flat on your face. Twisties feels a little bit too, you know, childish as a name. We've got to come up with something different than the twisties because it doesn't sound as serious as it actually is when you hear the athletes talking about it. It sounds like one of the scariest things that could possibly happen to you. You're just in the air flying through it and you have no idea if you're about to land on your neck or not. It sounds horrific, and it's, well, I got the twisties.
No, I'm with you on that. I always hesitate, though, when we have a Netflix documentary to call it a documentary.
It is a bit of a PR.
It's a tell your story.
It's also Simone Biles, so I'm totally cool watching it because I genuinely believe that she's one of the greatest athletes we have ever seen. It is absolutely insane what we are doing. But what I was about to say is one of the coaches was talking about, she has 4 moves named after her now. You have to land it a certain amount of times, and then it is named after you. He said that one of the moves other athletes can actually do. He's like, 2 other people have landed these before. It is possible to do. He said the other 3, unless your name is Simone Biles, you shouldn't even try to do it because you're just probably going to injure yourself and embarrass yourself because just no one else on this planet can get that done. Her dominance, I think, it is discussed a lot, but I do think that after this Olympics specifically, now that she is the most decorated, we can put her in the pantheon of greatest athletes we've ever seen, period. And that's why during her final performance, NBC and Peacock, which, by the way, absolutely crushing it. Got to give the cock credit when the cock needs credit. They are crushing it right now. There was a moment.
That's your stance, not mine.
There was a moment where they went from Michael Phelps to Serena Williams to Simone Biles. And it gave me goosebumps because, you know, 3 of the greatest athletes that we have ever seen, and watching Serena and Michael Phelps be so excited and nervous for Simone Biles and understanding the moment that they were in, it was really cool. It's this Olympics for me. We were kind of talking about it off the air. I don't know why I have really locked in to this Olympics. It may be because as a country at large, there are so many issues going on and so many anxieties that I have about the future of the country. But the Olympics for now is something that it really feels like it's one of the few things that we can all come together with and just kick the ass of other countries and scream America. And it feels
good. 4 golds.
Well, we're getting there. That's when you look at the medal count. So the medal count today, it's becoming to be, it's the U.S. lead is it's growing. We are now at 25 medals total, 11 bronze, 10 silver, 4 gold. Japan has 7 gold.
21 of those 25s are first or second losers.
Yes. But here's I will add this though. There were a couple bronze that were unexpected. You know, the U.S. gymnast team, the men's team, that was an unexpected bronze that they got. You have the rugby, the absolutely electric rugby match today that ended with what the equivalent of a 99-yard touchdown with 1 second left. I was losing my mind in my house. My neighbors probably heard me screaming. They probably thought that there was an incident. 911 may have gotten called to my house. I was losing my mind, and I cannot lie to you. The Australians immediately crying brought me a great amount of joy. A great amount of joy.
So the one thing I can't I can't get into, I know swimming is really trying to hammer this Aussie-U.S. rivalry.
I can't, I'm not in it this year for some reason. It's there's not a swim, like Ledecky, she showed up today and just absolutely destroyed people. She basically beat them by a full pole length. When she finished, she popped up and she was just waiting for everybody else for what felt like 30 seconds for them to finish the race. But overall, in my opinion, it feels like the swimming has been a bit disappointing for Team USA. Like every single time I've been watching, they've had the lead, and they give it up within the last, just the last few meters. They'll give it up. And it's been a bit frustrating to see. I haven't seen much celebration from the gold, from the bronze and silvers in swimming, so that probably tells me that they should be winning a little bit more. I understand that some of the other countries, most notably in the men's section, have some stars this year, so it may be more difficult to get the gold. But it usually just feels like swimming is where USA picks up a ton of gold, and I'm just not sure if that's happened yet. And so hopefully, as we move forward, we get some of those goals. Because to your point, we do have 25 total, but we only have 4 gold. And it usually feels like we have more gold by now. So are we just spoiled? Are we just spoiled Americans?
Well, I think these games flipped. Normally, I think track and field goes sooner.
Yeah, track and field's later.
And so we flipped. Swimming usually is like the second half. Track and field's the first half. We flipped it, and that's usually where we get out and start running, intended.
So we have 14 medals from swimming specifically. 6 bronze, 6 silver, 2 gold.
Yeah, and then we have the gold from women's gymnastic, and then the fencing, in which we had gold and silver.
Yeah.
So the silvers that I will allow are when you lose to an American.
Fair enough.
Those silvers count because you played a part in making sure we got gold. But it's just a little too much bronze for me.
I think I asked you this question over the weekend, or I may have asked Gabe it. Would you rather be a favorite who gets silver or an underdog who gets bronze?
Underdog gets bronze.
I think that's the correct answer.
Yeah, I would much rather be... I'd much rather be... who's our boy? Steven...
Pommel horse guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the hero?
I'd rather be him than be Gretchen Walsh, who was the favorite in whatever the 200, and she got beat by her teammate. I also think that's the worst spot, getting beat by your teammate, because you have to pretend that you're happy. Like that to me is, again, as an American, I count that because you lost to the American.
Right.
Like your silver still counts. But I think that would be the worst spot to be in, where you have to pretend that you're happy.
I truly think the Olympics might be the meanest I am as a sports fan watching, because I truly want domination of every single country. And that's why today, specifically watching the gymnastics, this team is, in my opinion, one of the best we've ever seen. Like they'll go down as possibly the best one that we've had. And their nickname, by the way, pretty good. F Around and Find Out is what they've coined themselves as, where the other ones were the Fierce Five, something else. But the Fierce Five wasn't bad, but F Around and Find Out, pretty damn good. But it was really funny to watch, because I think Brazil and Italy specifically were going before the U.S.
Yeah.
And they would nail something. They had great days. Like Brazil medaled for the first time in like 90 years or something like that in gymnastics. At like huge accomplishment for them. But they would go, they'd be all excited. And then they would just have to see like SUNY League walk by them and do a perfect routine. And you would just see the realization on their faces of, oh, we're just never going to have a shot to win this thing. And that's why the commentators during the entire competition was like, it basically doesn't matter how low Team USA gets on the scoreboard right now. There's basically no way they're going to lose this thing unless Simone Biles jumps and her leg just falls off, which, to be quite honest, she still might be able to compete with, because she kind of already has one leg right now.
We just saw the with the left calf strain.
She's crawling around and then putting up perfect scores. It's unbelievable.
Would it have been closer if Russia was there?
I don't know. Are they doping?
No, we're still doing the thing where, because their government, we're holding them out because their government went to war.
No, I know that. What I'm asking is, would they be doping if they're there?
I mean, you have to
assume.
You,
yes,
you have to presume. I mean, I think that's the other thing about the Olympics that kind of makes it. I think another reason why it kind of catches on is, we kind of know too much about all the other sports that we watch, and we kind of have to go through this. You know, if you take college football, like, we now know way more how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to, like, set it aside to watch the games, like, to a certain degree. Cobb and I have always talked about it. It's like, game day, game day is still game day for college football, but it's like the rest of the days kind of bum you out. And like, I guess in football in general, like you kind of have to like set aside that we're basically like asking these guys full speed to just like collide with each other. But I think it helps in the Olympics that we don't really know like how the sausage is made. We're just watching the event.
I also think specifically this year, because I said yesterday that it felt like 2008, 2012 to me. And I think it's because you have a good merge of rising stars in Team USA Athletics and stars who have been around for a few years, so they have some name recognition. So we're tuning in to watch people like Simone Biles, to watch Jordan Chiles, to watch LeBron James, to watch, you know, just name a sport and a star that they have. But you're also finding some along the way, like our boy Steve, and then you have Alana with rugby. You're finding some stars along the way that you can latch on to, and, you know, Nuss with volleyball. Like, I didn't really know who she was, and turns out she might be the greatest collegiate volleyball player.
Beach volleyball, ever.
And it's been fun being able to latch on to some of these stars. And I think, to be honest, that's why I was swimming. I haven't been able to, like, latch on to one of them yet because it just feels like all of them have been a bit disappointing so far. And that's why Ledecky's showing up. I'm like, okay, this is the gal. She's going to lead us to some golds. But it has just felt somewhat disappointing.
Well, it's like, are they disappointing or did Phelps ruin the sport for us?
Yes. So,
because like that's the other thing. Like, we talk about Simone Biles has 8 medals. There's no other gymnast that has more medals than she does. Michael Phelps has 29.
It's actually insane.
I think he just kind of ruined the sport because we got trained for like 4 straight Olympics. It's like, all right. Here we go.
See, it just happened again, though. Look, it literally just happened again. We're watching an event right now. It's the 4x200 free.
4x2, yeah.
Yeah. So the U.S. was winning, and then as soon as they got to the turn, all of a sudden they're in third place. That has happened, I swear, every single event that I have watched. Now, hopefully they can win it here, but I'm telling you, every single swimming event I have watched, the U.S. has had a lead, or they're in second place, and they end up in third. And I don't know how it has been driving me absolutely insane. But I do think that your point about Michael Phelps potentially he's ruined my expectation of Team USA swimming, because there was a time there where I was just tuning in to watch him basically swim by himself in the pool, because even in the relays, it would be close for a minute, and then Phelps would get in, and it was over. And I'm not sure we're ever going to see dominance like that again in a sport. So, yes, he may have ruined my expectation a little bit of Team USA swimming.
I mean,
he is why I swam in high school. I would not have swam in high school unless Michael Phelps. That was 2008. I started high school in 2009, and that's when I began swimming.
Okay, so in 2000, he didn't win. 2000, he finished fifth in the 200 fly. That was his only event. So then in 04, which is Athens, right? Yeah, 04 is Athens. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 golds, 2 bronzes. 08, what was it? 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 golds. 2012, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4 more golds, 2 silvers.
Good Lord.
1, and in 2016, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 golds and a silver. So of his, what is it, 20, is it 28 or 29?
I believe it's 28.
It's like, of the 28, like what, two-thirds are gold? Yeah, of the 28, 23 are gold. Even if, like, if you give, I guess the other thing, I think it's like if Caleb Dressel medals twice more, he'll be number 2, and it's like, Phelps could spot him half of his golds and still be ahead.
It's insane. And that's why when people bring up dominant athletes and they try to leave out Michael Phelps, I think your list is invalid. It's invalid if you don't have Michael Phelps on there. Yeah. Because it wasn't just the U.S., it was the world that he was dominating.
Yeah.
No one could do anything.
Also, we got to talk. I'm not sure about that man bun thing.
I think it kind of works.
He looks a little too samurai.
Yeah, but I think he's leaning. So
it looks like a guy that got into Shogun a little too much on FX.
Listen, that was all of us. That was all of us. Michaelson. That was all of us.
It's just, you know what I mean? He's got kind of like a samurai look going.
I think he's leaning into who he actually is now, because do you remember when there was that photo that came out, everybody acted like he killed people?
Oh, and yeah, I think now he's
like, no, yeah, that's just kind of who I am. And he's leaning into it a little bit much. It's clearly the guy who, he's a bit out of his prime. He's still going to the Olympics, but he wants to still make an appearance. So it's a look that he's going for. I think it kind of works for him. I like it. It is definitely Shogun related, if I had to make a guess. But, you know, I think it works.
I just feel like at some point I'm going to see him show up, like, in the samurai, like, full outfit.
Please do.
Like, I just feel like that's where he's headed. Looks like we might lose again.
This is what I'm saying. They had the lead, and then they kind of lose it right at the end there. I'll take a silver here, but it just
seems like we're not as good.
It seems like they're not good.
Here's the real question. Were we ever that good, or was he just that good?
Well,
another silver. And we lost to the UK.
I know, that's gross. That's gross. Never again. Get out of the water. Get out of the water. Losing to the UK, how dare you? How dare you? LeBron would never. He would cross that Delaware.
Yeah, the other thing I was thinking about during the opening ceremonies, I don't think there is an event that gets more PR that was less successful than the French Revolution. Like, think about how much more iconic imagery there is of the French Revolution than ours.
Marie Antoinette.
It took my guy Napoleon like 6 seconds to reverse it.
Did no one watch the movie on Apple?
Well, it's just like, say what you want about us. We've had some ups and downs. We're still on the same revolution.
What has been your favorite event so far to watch, other than tennis? I know that you're super into your guy.
No, it's Rafa. It's like one last run. It's like, there's something about him being on the clay and this fact that we've partnered him with the number one guy and we're acting like Rafa's like digging deep. And
it's the definition of tell your story.
Correct. Like, and I'm fine with it because Rafa's my guy. But, I mean, it is so funny to watch when they play doubles with Alcaraz, because every time Alcaraz becomes the main server or the main returner, those are all the points that Spain wins. And then when my guy's having to go back, it's like that's when everyone else starts winning points.
But he looks great in the photos.
But,
oh my God, he looks good in the photos.
And I have made the heroic decision if Carlos carries him to another gold medal, I will commit to being an Alcaraz guy.
You have to.
Heroically, yes. I know that
the baton will be passed.
Well, he already is like new. He's like already. He's already broke. That's the other thing. Like Federer, Djokovic, and Nadal ruined tennis because Alcaraz is doing stuff that none of them did, and we just don't care because it's not our guys. And it's like as soon as they put Nadal out there, like I'm fist pumping everything. I'd say rugby was up there.
Rugby was awesome. Awesome.
Basketball has now become intriguing just because of, like, is Kerr really, like, going to do this?
Did you hear what he said today?
Go ahead.
It's time to get Steph Curry going? I don't know. You're the coach. Maybe that's your job.
I saw we have the proper amount of respect of South Sudan. It's like, respectfully, I would properly like to not have the respect. I know the game was close, but, like,
listen, showcase, we can be nice, bury them. In the actual game. Bury them. Because the point differential does matter. Speaking of basketball.
Kind of.
We need to have a conversation about our 3-on-3 teams. Both of them lost today.
Do we really care?
I care a little bit. It's basketball. We should never lose.
Yeah.
We should still be dominating even though we're sending.
We're like trotting out the ghost of Jimmer Fredette.
That is true.
Like, if they...
Do you know how much fun it would be if they were like, listen, the guys that don't make Team USA, like the major team.
Oh, see, no, I think
you go
should,
do 3-on-3. No, like, could you imagine in a 3-on-3 scenario?
I want them to do it like tennis.
How does tennis do it?
Like the singles, you play singles, you play doubles.
Oh, you do both.
Yeah.
Oh, so like we send, hey, Jason Tatum, you didn't play that game.
Yeah, it's half court.
Go play half court.
Yeah, I'll let you not do conditioning today.
There's no defense. The major thing I notice is there's very little defense, and if you get hot from three, you're going to win the game.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to care.
I cared. I was mad. I was angry. It was basketball. We should never lose basketball.
All right, Jeffrey Simmons.
You just made the list!
All right, so Connor, I finally got the context. So today, Jeffrey Simmons, you could hear him in the background of a show on 104.5 The Zone, calling the radio host a P-word. So, if you watch the clip, you're very confused It's Buck Riesling, I believe. Or Buck Riesling?
Rising?
I don't know if it's Rising or Riesling.
I have no idea.
I apologies to Buck and his family. You're very confused. You can hear Simmons yelling at him, and Buck does a good job. Like, he's pretty calm. He's like, hey, man, we're on the air. Do you want to come and talk about it?
He
like,
handled it well.
Correct. So this is what Simmons was upset about. This is what... So the, Buck and the boys are broadcasting from Titans training camp practice. Like, they're kind of like... Looks like they're, like, back off to the side. We've seen this shot in Hard Knocks. It looks like they're kind of by, like, where the team walks out of the facility to go to the practice field. Like, that's where they are. Buck tweeted this morning. Simmons just swung at Latham after some pushing and shoving. Ref said 98 would have been tossed in a game. He's back in for the next two and immediately starts a brawl. Sloppy. Simmons needs to lock TF in. So that's what Simmons was mad about. Here's the... What I love about this. This is classic, like, 8 days into training camp stuff. Like, some of my favorite stories are this. This is when they'll start fighting with each other. But then my new favorite one is Rashard Penny. Just after, like, 8 days of training camp, retired. Like, I just love when you get the veteran.
Did he really?
Yeah. I love when he retired?
Yeah, oh, that's fantastic.
I love when the veterans. Now...
It takes one hit, I'm out.
There's always the question of, did you... I like the guys, like, who was the Bills? The Bills had a linebacker.
Randall Cobb did it last year.
I think Randall might have gotten retired.
Oh.
So that's always the question. Did you retire?
But it was Hard Knocks.
Or did you find out, like, hey, man, we got roster cutdowns next week. Like,
and you're on Hard Knocks. Yeah. Let's retire. Wink, wink.
Yeah, so there's always that move. I do love the... Who is... There was a Bills guy that just retired at halftime.
Oh, yeah.
Who was that? That was one of my all-time favorites. That and then the Kyle Orton. Kyle Orton after their last game.
Vontae Davis.
Yeah, Vontae Davis. Like, he... That... I love that move. Like, just retiring at halftime. Kyle Orton...
They were losing, too.
It was their last game, and... The press was like, hey, Kyle, can we speak with you? And he's like, yeah, let me take a shower. He went straight to his car and retired. Like, I like those kind of moves. Like, when you're just done with it. But this is, like, the peak. This is where we are in training camp. Like, everybody hates each other. And that's, like, where this is the point where they need to be scrimmaging other teams.
Well, So, from Titans camp today, too, the camp began with a fight. And then Will Levis immediately threw a pick. So everything's going great for the Titans right now.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Simmons is fighting radio people.
Yeah. I mean, at least he's not fighting girls. He's done that before, too. So, I mean, hey, like.
Yeah, that's
on video.
That is true.
Again, at least we're not there. All right, let's get into. Oh, no, sorry. Travis Kelce.
You just made the list.
Connor, with all due respect to our wives, we got to start dating pop stars.
I've tried.
According to Ann Steele of the Wall Street Journal via the Sports Business Journal, the Kelces are seeking a deal in the range of nine figures for the New Heights podcast.
Oh, my God.
The show's once a week.
Nine figures?
Now, granted, there's also some tell your story in this. Like, who knows how long? Like, is it 10 years? 100 million? But, I mean...
For what, though? For TV?
No, the podcast.
For the rights to the podcast?
Yeah.
I'm baffled by this. With the way that podcasts work, I'm baffled by this.
I guess you could make the argument Rogan's once a week, but isn't Rogan's show like 4 hours? 3.5, 4 hours?
Yeah. Well, I haven't listened to Rogan in years, but it is. But it's also, that's Spotify specifically, isn't it? Or is that deal not happening anymore?
No, I mean, that's...
Is this a Spotify deal?
They're seeking from whoever.
Wow. That's nuts. Good for them. Good for them, but that's crazy. I mean, can we be honest about their podcast? Like, for real. It's fine. It's not that great. It's entertaining.
I find Jason the entertaining one.
I think Jason's the entertaining one. Travis is there to be the butt of the jokes for Jason.
Yeah.
It's also very clear that Travis takes a few more hits still than Jason.
Yeah, I guess I think...
Jason also is just more relatable.
I think if you put... I think if you gave the IQ test to both of them, I think Jason probably scores a lot higher.
Yeah, the lineman? I'm going to say so.
Yeah, but just like in general, like, because, you know, theoretically the same two genetic compounds like were combined to form, but one comes across as much smarter than the other.
I think that's fair.
That's.
But nine figures for that podcast? Woo! You better hope that he stays with the Taylor Swift. Better hope.
Maybe we understand now why he's willing to take that pay cut just a little bit. Just a little bit. All right, we come back. Let's play some overrated, underrated. We'll do it next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 99FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Overrated, underrated, properly rated. Not a difficult concept. Connor's going to throw out a name or a topic.
I got two.
And then we're going to discuss.
Okay, I'll start. Santi Aldama.
Okay. So, my instinct says locally underrated. Because it does feel like we've just kind of, feels like locally, like we've just decided, like he's not someone we even really, like when you do the rotation, I feel like he's the one that gets left out the most.
He's the odd man out, and he has also been kind of candidate number one for, if you have to trade somebody, who would it be? And it would be Santi Aldama. He has been used in trade discussion. He is the odd man out for the rotation as it sits right now. But so far, he has played two games at the Olympics, and he is averaging 23 points and 8.5 rebounds. He's had a couple big games. He's clearly leading the way for Spain. He's played really well. But I would say I think that some of it may be that he has more comfortability in the rules that are used in international play than the NBA.
I wonder if it's also his game's more suited for the international game.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's the other thing. I don't know if there's any way of, like, there's no way of, like, knowing whether or not this is true. I do feel like he is a good player, but he's kind of, there's not the role that I think he would be best at. There's a crowd where I think he would be used, which is, like, to me, if he's the four that can really shoot the three, I think that that's where he's probably at his best because he doesn't have to guard on the perimeter nearly as much. I think he's valuable. I don't think the Grizzlies need more minutes without Jaren Jackson.
Yeah. I would say
It's also entirely possible, like, maybe, like, he is, like, his skill set's just more of, like, in the international game because that's what he grew up playing. Like, maybe he's going to get more shots, like, whatnot. Like, maybe his skill set is. My thought is still, though, I would still go underrated with the acknowledgement I didn't think he had a good year last year.
I'm going to say properly rated. With the possibility of him making a leap this year is what I think. Because we all expected him to make the leap last year, specifically because he had a lot of opportunity, and he just never really fully put it together in the way that you were hoping he would, most notably on the defensive end of the basketball. And that's why, ultimately, I think the reason he's playing really well in international play is you don't have to play as much defense right now, and he is really just kind of being their offensive go-to guy. I think that he is a properly rated guy in that he can pop off. He is a offensive presence, but he still struggles on the defensive end, and he is still a little slow-footed. And I just think in his international play, he's not dealing with NBA athletes every single game, so he looks a little bit better. But I will acknowledge that he is a prime candidate for a guy who makes a bit of a leap this year, because we were expecting it to happen last year after FIBA, and it just didn't come. So that's why maybe after another Olympic run, gain some more confidence. He does look to be a little bit bigger. He has put on some weight. The rumor is that he's put on about 15 pounds, which will help with the physicality of the NBA, which in moments you could argue he struggled with. I know he would never back down from a fight, but a lot of it was him being pushed around to the point where he became annoyed and angered. So then he would go at people. I would say Santi's properly rated, but I've seen some. We've got to relax a little bit because of the Olympics. I have seen a couple conversations about Jaren better watch out. No. Jaren should not watch out. Santi Aldama is not coming for Jaren's job. No way.
He does also strike me as he's in the Zaire bucket in this sense that it feels like he is at his best when he's playing with Ja.
Which, to be fair to him, I think he could say about every single Grizzly. But it feels
drastic.
Well, and that's why,
like, him and Zaire to me feel the most drastic in the plays better with Ja.
It's just, it is a bit disappointing that in a season where he got the most opportunity, he had the worst season of his career. His shooting numbers went down. His assist numbers went up a little bit. But, like, he didn't make the leap that you were hoping he was going to, most notably on the offensive end of the basketball. With his three-point, he is deemed a stretch four, and his shooting went down last year. And that just can't happen. So if he is able to maintain his shooting, I think that he could be a part of the Memphis Grizzlies moving forward. But because of his play at the Olympics, I'm not going to just all of a sudden say, oh, he needs to be anointed as a key piece for the Grizzlies moving forward next year, and now he is untouchable. If you still have to move Santi Aldama to get something done, I'm okay with it.
All right, so I think we're either... I think you're right. I think properly rated.
I think properly rated, but he's having a moment, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah. I do think he could wind up having... I think he could end up having a better year than we're talking about.
He's an X factor. Yeah. If somebody asked me who would be your prime candidate to make a leap for the Grizzlies this year, I'd probably say Santi Aldama. Because I think that Gigi, we know what we're going to expect from them. Vince, we know what we're going to expect from them. Santi is the one that still has some to prove and has some expectation on him. So I think Santi is the candidate to make a leap. So I would say he is an X factor for the Grizzlies, but he is also properly rated in the moment.
Okay, what else you got?
My next one's fun. I want you to go first. We'll save mine for the end.
Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, God.
I don't know what to do.
I actually think she's underrated as an actress. She's properly rated as hot, but I think she's underrated as an actress and a producer.
Listen, I'm happy what she's done for the culture. It feels like she's really brought boobs back.
Yeah.
Did you hear the news yesterday? Well, yeah, this is where I got it, because she says she's heroically still going to continue to do nude scenes.
Hero. Can she get an Olympic medal for that? I think she is underrated as an actress, but it may take her a while to really be able to show the chops that she has. Because there have been a few moments where she has been able to. But most notably, like the White Lotus, she is really good in the White Lotus. She is excellent in Euphoria. It's just some other things to get the attention from her performance in Euphoria. But she's really good in that. Anyone But You, admittedly, she's not very good in. She's pretty dry in that movie, but she's there for a different reason.
I have seen...
The reason I'm saying this,
though...
That
movie is the movie that I've watched other people watch on the plane the most in the last month.
It's a amazing plane movie. It's a great plane movie. But immaculate, that is the reason I think that she is a bit underrated in terms of her acting ability. And as a producer, she picks her projects well. And I think that we are going to look up in like 15 years once she ages kind of into the mother role, more so than the sex symbol that she is in right now. Mm-hmm. That is where I could see us looking up and she's walking and she's nominated for an Oscar. I would not be shocked within the next 15 years or so. She has more acting chops than she lets be seen, but that's because right now she's picking vehicles that are trying to make her a star. She's doing what she's doing the playbook right now. Honestly, Glenn Powell's doing something similar. He's just a bit I think he's just a better actor. Has a little bit more charm to him right now too. But he's really doing the movie star stuff, but he actually wants to be an auteur. He wants to produce his own stuff, and that's why when you go and look at the things he does with Richard Linklater, that's a different version of Glenn Powell than you see in Twisters or Anyone But You. They're kind of running the same playbook right now. Powell's just a little bit ahead.
He's doing the Clooney, one for you, one for me.
Yeah, well, it's really the Cruise. Yeah. He's doing the Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I'm going. She's overrated with the important caveat of I respect the work she's doing.
Uh-huh.
I just see so many guys just going absolutely bananas for her. And clearly, she is a professionally good-looking person. But I feel like she has been lifted into a stratosphere that she doesn't actually have.
I would agree with I think that's fair. That's a fair statement to make.
That's kind of how I roll. All right,
Bruce Willis.
Okay.
This is the conversation we had last night. I was watching Pulp Fiction. Because the Rewatchables finally did the Pulp Fiction. It's a 5-hour podcast. It's incredible. I still haven't finished it yet. But it made me rewatch Pulp Fiction, which, by the way, every time I watch it, I'm just kind of in shock about how good that movie is. But as I was watching it, I was having a conversation with you and my good friend Isaiah Downey, who is now a hero. I don't know if you saw this story last week. Isaiah Downey is a hero. He was a good Samaritan that helped out with the wreck. I think Bruce Willis, weirdly enough, he might be a little underrated. Slightly underrated.
I'm going properly rated because could he probably have more hardware if he would have done what we're talking about, pick different projects? Sure. He's worth $250 million, and he had a very expensive divorce. So you factor that in. He's made choices. No one considers him to be a clown. Like, he isn't in the this guy shouldn't be on the screen category. Everyone just kind of knows him as, like, you know, he's Bruce Willis. Like, he did action movies.
See, that's what I mean, though. It's not just the action movies that you get with Bruce Willis.
I had to see the whole 10 yards.
Yeah, okay. But it's everybody has a miss here and there. I don't know. I think that you could argue.
The Kid, what was that one?
The Kid rocks. Watch your tongue. Watch your mouth. The Kid absolutely rocks. It's a movie of my childhood. Watch it. Doesn't hold up. Watch it. I don't know.
I'm saying it doesn't hold up.
Oh, it doesn't hold up. Well, I'm going to choose to believe
does. The y'all's your thing.
Yeah, relax. Yeah. Relax. No, last night as I was watching the movie, I was like, man, Bruce Willis is arguably in the greatest action movie ever. He's arguably in the best twist ever, The Sixth Sense. And he is arguably in just simply the best movie ever, Pulp Fiction. And then you have Armageddon on top of it. Then you have Glass on top of it. You have The Fifth Element on top of it. I just feel like we actually underrate his library a little bit, because when you think of him, you say, oh, he's Die Hard. He's the Die Hard guy, which is true. He has a Die Hard series. But when you actually talk about film history and movies, you cannot tell the history of it without mentioning Bruce Willis for a large portion of it. He is a huge reason a lot of these movies get made.
I agree with that, but that's also juice. Like, who's got, like, in the end, to me, he's kind of poor man's Tom Cruise.
I see, that's what underrates. I think that's what underrates him, though.
I would love to be poor man's Tom Cruise. It's $250 million.
You're focusing on the net worth. I'm talking about his place
right,
in history.
But to me, where this becomes a thing is if he starts to get, he like gets lumped into joke category, and he's never been in that. Even when he like had bad movies.
Have you seen the Red movies though?
They're not bad. But yeah, like I don't feel like he gets lumped into the, like, he doesn't have awards because of, like,
he gets, here's
choices.
What I'll say. Recently, he has gotten lumped into, and what's happening with him is very sad. It's actually awful what's happening.
But, like,
no one is
putting him and Jean-Claude Van Damme in the same category.
Recently, they kind of have been, though.
Well, because they did the movies together.
Well, he had a cognitive decline, and people were taking advantage of him, and that is a major reason he did a lot of those VOD
movies. The first Expendables isn't bad.
Oh, did I say Expendables?
And two's fine. Three's where it starts to get bad.
I ride for those movies. I did not bring up the Expendables into this discussion.
All right, Dennis, let's hit the music. All right, Connor, for today's Tell Your Story, I got a Falcons owner, Arthur Blank.
Incredible. One of the kings of it.
When asked about the tampering charges against the Falcons, the organization made a couple of procedural mistakes. Just a couple of procedural mistakes, Connor. But the procedure is the rule. We jumped the gun. It's like, that's the point.
Well, the procedure was to cheat, and they just messed up the cheating.
Well, the procedure was like, you can't talk to these people. Then.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, that's the procedure.
Protocol.
I like that. Yes. We
broke protocol.
Did we break a few rules? We did. My thanks to all y'all for listening. My thanks to Dennis for keeping the program rolling. For Dennis, for Connor, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.